So let's dive deep. Let's do it. What if what you are about to hear could change your life forever? Inhale. Exhale. Set an intention. You are seen. You are heard. You are loved. This is The Deep Dive with Adam Roa.
Why, hello there, Deep Divers. Thank you for joining me for another Deep Dive Musings. This is where we dive deep into what is alive for me right now and how that might wind up being something beneficial to you, because that's one of the greatest gifts that I see being able to offer the planet, is taking our experiential learning and synthesizing it into something that can become wisdom for other people to grow and continue to develop, so they don't have to go through all the exact same things, but it can instead, stand on the shoulders of giants, as they say. And right now I'm literally watching two lizards fight over a dragonfly that one of them has caught in its mouth and is killing. And that dragonfly was a friend of mine, which I want to talk about and is the topic for today's musing. And before I get into that, I just want to let you know that I'm going to be in Los Angeles and I'm going to be offering a workshop. I'm going to be in LA for 2 weeks, and I have a workshop called Life is Poetry that I'm very excited to bring to all of you. I've been teaching it and leading it at some festivals around the world, and I've decided to expand upon it. And it is going to be a 5-hour experience that involves poetry and performance and writing, and is not about how do you write poetry, but instead is using poetry and performance as a feedback mechanism for personal growth, meaning that there is a way to do personal development that doesn't have to feel hard and heavy. We can use art and play and fun to grow and expand and move through the limiting beliefs that we may hold within ourselves and step more into the embodied essence of who we desire to be. And that is the basis for my Life is Poetry workshop. I'm going to leave a link in the show notes so that you can sign up and get your space. I'm going to lead this as an intimate experience. So I'm getting a small venue, and that means that there's limited space. So if you're interested, sign up quickly and make sure to secure your spot before they're all gone. Now, today's topic, I was sitting here and I heard this buzzing sound beneath me, and I'm at this desk. And when I looked under the desk, what I saw was a dragonfly that was basically against this sliding glass door trying to get out, right? And you know that sound when a fly or a dragonfly is working really hard against a window, and it's that buzzing sound. I'm like, oh, this poor guy has no idea how to actually get out, and it may die under here because it won't be able to get out from underneath this desk. And I want everyone to know that I don't generally like bugs. You know, I don't have that kind of relationship where I want to hold dragonflies, bees, and the things like that. I avoid them. I generally dislike mosquitoes. And so seeing this dragonfly, my first instinct was not, oh, I want to catch it and help it escape. My first instinct was, I don't actually want this down here by my feet. And we can go into all the reasons why that might be the case and fear programming and all that stuff, but let's just say that it was, because that's not important for today's topic. And then what did I decide to do? I realized I am currently working on one of my greatest aspects of myself that I'm working on, is feeling fully safe on this planet. Feeling safe in my body as I move through the world. And so things like that, where I get an opportunity to touch this dragonfly, felt really important. And so I reached out and tried to let the dragonfly land on my hand so that I could move it out from underneath the desk and it could fly free. And there was several attempts, and the dragonfly did land on my hand a couple times and its legs, but it didn't stay on me, and it kept trying to fly. But I kept lifting it almost like an elevator, and eventually it was able to fly out from underneath the desk, behind the desk, and up the wall. And I thought, how amazing. How absolutely amazing. I had this experience. It didn't like hurt, right? I was fully safe and I saved this life and I feel really good. And now that dragonfly is free. Fast forward to about a minute later where I'm sitting here at this desk and I hear this sound. I'm like, what is that sound? And I look up and that dragonfly is in the mouth of a lizard. That dragon, like a little like baby gecko type lizard, probably about, I would say, 5 inches in length. And that dragonfly is now struggling and flapping its wings and dying in the mouth of this lizard. I'm literally looking at it now. And I had this thought. One is something that I think quite often when it comes to nature, which is nature is savage. Nature is really, really savage. This is a common experience, right? Where if something is going to die, then it is going to die being eaten alive. That is pretty common out in nature. I feel like very few things just die of old age. You have the deer that are eaten by wolves. You have the birds that are eaten by other birds or snakes or whatever. And now, even on this level, you have dragonflies that are eaten by the lizard, and you have lizards that are eaten by ants, and just like so many things. And so that's one thought. The second thought was, would that dragonfly have died had I not tried to save its life? Meaning, had I allowed it to have its experience under the desk and just be there, perhaps it just never escapes and it dies in that way. Who's to say that that's actually better than, you know, being eaten alive, but it could have done that, had a longer period of time to live. Or it may have eventually found its way out from under the desk and not moved up the wall. Maybe it flies out into the room and as a result, it lives. It makes its way out and not into the open mouth of a lizard. And so I sat with this kind of existential wondering for a moment and realized how much of our life is actually just like this. It's the butterfly effect, right? We try to do something good and it has some form of ripple experience that ripples out and maybe doesn't have anywhere near the impact that we would desire it to have. We say, oh, I really want to support a friend of mine, and so I'm going to lend them some money. And through the lending of that money, we unknowingly enable a response in them that prevents them from launching the business idea they have because they don't have that necessary fire, let's say, because they're taken care of. That's a random example, but it is just an example that pops into my head. Or the person who really wants to help the dragonfly and gets it up into the air only to have it immediately fly into the clutches of a lizard and die. So I don't actually know, right? I don't actually know what that timeline might look like. And I'm like watching this, a couple different lizards now have peeked their heads out and are trying to rip the dragonfly out of the mouth of another one. They're like fighting over it. And the meanwhile, the dragonfly's head is still moving around. It's kind of sad in a way, because I've developed a bond in that really short moment. I developed a bond to the dragonfly. And that's another key aspect to this, right? Like how quickly we can formulate bonds. Had I never seen this happen, or had I just caught the tail end of it, maybe I think, wow, how amazing to witness this lizard catching this dragonfly. It's such, it's wild, it's nature. And instead, because I've had some form of experience or interaction with the dragonfly, I consider it a friend. We've developed some form of relationship, and now its death has meaning to me beyond what it might had we never interacted. And so I am just so clearly aware of these little nuances, these little pieces to how life kind of just weaves, right? Every little interaction you have with anyone or anything creates a deeper relationship that then has impact on you, has impact on them. And then every aspect of this, every single thing that you do has a ripple. It creates a ripple of experience that moves out into the world and has that butterfly effect. And so what is the point of all of this? Let me get to the point. The point of all of this is that we are unable to manage the results. They're far too complex. They're far too nuanced. They are infinite in their potential. And so trying to manage the result will leave us feeling overwhelmed. It will leave us pulling our hair out, trying to mitigate damage and maximize pleasure and make everyone happy. But you can only do that so far. Maybe you can do that for one or two or three people, but for all of your actions and all the ways that they impact the planet, there's no way that you would ever be able to manage the ripple that goes out. And so in order to avoid all of the stress that that might cause, in order to avoid the intense amount of pain that could be associated with feeling like you're doing everything you can and you're still not able to make everyone around you happy, we can only manage ourselves. We can only manage our own actions. That's all we can ever actually do. And why this is difficult for some people to focus on, you know, taking full radical responsibility for their own actions and really focusing in on that, is because for so many people, they don't trust their actions. For so many people, they don't actually know and truly believe that they are choosing love. I know for myself, I grew up thinking I was a bad person. I thought that I had done a lot of bad things. I thought that I was selfish or egotistical or whatever it might be. And so I worried that I was doing things from an unintegrous place. And therefore, it became hard for me to lean into my own actions. I then decided to try and determine and evaluate whether my actions were healthy and good based on the results. And that led me into this trying to manage the spider web of all my relationships through the results of how people viewed me and what people thought about me. And that led to exactly what I'm talking about, which is me going a little crazy in my mind, trying to manage all that. And if someone didn't like me, that just meant that I was a worse person. If my actions led to hurting someone's feelings, that was more evidence that I couldn't trust myself. And where we've gotten to now, what I've landed on is I truly believe that I'm choosing love. I trust myself. I trust that I've done enough of the work to move through the shadow. Because the shadow, right, is just unintegrated parts of ourselves wanting to be whole. So what that equates to is if I believe that I'm acting out of a need to be validated or be seen or be worshipped or whatever it might be, if I have that need, The reason I have that is because there's a part of me that doesn't feel worthy. There's a part of me that doesn't feel validated. And so by doing the work, that what that work is letting go of those parts of me so I can step into the parts of me that don't need that external validation. And as I've done that, as I've released those limitations and embodied more of love within myself, I've been able to trust my actions more. I've been able to lean into who I am more and believe that I'm choosing love. And therefore, I manage other people's experiences far less. Because if someone else is offended by something that I do, I will reflect on my actions. I'll think about them. But I don't question my own integrity any longer. I don't ask myself, well, am I a bad person? I've gotten beyond that. And it has taken work. It's taken years and years and years. But I can fully say that I stand behind every single word I say and every single one of my actions. And that doesn't mean that they won't cause pain. That doesn't mean that by wanting to save the life of a dragonfly, it won't lead to the death of that dragonfly. But what it does mean is that no matter the result, I can stay in love with myself. And because I'm doing that, I can continue to grow and evolve and become an even heightened, more loving version of myself along the way without needing to beat myself up for it. This is not me saying that I'm perfect. This is not me telling you that just because you believe you're choosing love in every moment, you are perfect. And by perfect, I mean you will never cause harm to anyone ever. But what this does mean is that you can enjoy the process of being you far more. You can enjoy the process of learning and growing far more. Because your successes and your learnings don't mean anything about you other than you're human and you're growing and you're doing the best you can. So thank you for doing the best you can. Thank you for listening to this, because this sort of listening will be the very thing that might catalyze new thoughts in your mind or a new lens that you can bring out into your day. And that new lens of awareness will give you the opportunity to make new choices. And through the making of new choices is how you make change in your life. It's how you design who you want to be. It's how you become a more loving version of yourself. So thank you for doing that work. I appreciate you so much, Deep Divers. If this has resonated with you, please leave a review on iTunes. Be sure to subscribe and follow on SoundCloud and just share this out with the world so we can continue to spread these messages. I want to remind you that always, in all ways, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved.